You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Lingfield, Redcar and Musselburgh on this edition. You'll hear every race live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Dale Gibson and James Millman on Thursday afternoon. We've got racing in the afternoon from Lingfield, Redcar and Toaster. Then into the evening, we're jumping at Sedgefield, flat action at Musselburgh, and there's also a card over the Irish Sea at Clonmel. So plenty to enjoy. Sam Norris here, and joining me on the podcast today, it's a very warm welcome to Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm tired, Sam.
Tired?
Yeah, stayed in a hotel next to a nightclub and it was student night. And
rookie error.
Yeah, there was a lot of noise to the early hours of the morning.
Right, you've not had much sleep then overnight.
No, so I'm getting my excuses in early for the lack of winners on this podcast.
Fair enough. It's a bit of a modest day on Thursday after the good action we've had on Wednesday, or still to come. We're recording this podcast there just before racing, but a cracking card at Ascot, and then it just falls a little bit flat for the next 2 days.
Yeah, it's a strange midweek. Wednesday feels more like a Saturday.
Yep.
With some group racing at Ascot and some fantastic supporting races elsewhere, and then Thursday looks a bit like a Monday at Wolverhampton.
It does indeed. And we've not had bad midweek racing in the early part of the week as well. Tuesday's card was, again, for a Tuesday, not too bad. Tuesday's
yeah, that's
offerings.
Right. There was plenty of action and some nice horses in maidens at Nottingham as well to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, did anything go down into your tracker yesterday?
Yeah, I've not been through it with a fine tooth comb yet and had a look, but there was one winner at Nottingham in particular. And that was Meteor Light, I believe it was. Just let me double check that name. Yeah, Meteor Light. Challenged down the middle of the track from a high draw. Not easy to do over the mile trip at Newmarket. Nottingham, even the second and third were prominent throughout and looked like they were going to fight the finish out. And Meteor Light really did well to win from an uncompromising position. And that was second start, and there should be plenty more improvement to come.
Good stuff. Looking forward to Guineas weekend, of course. The first classics of the season are almost upon us. And we did see a couple of market movers yesterday in the 2000 Guineas market. Namely, Churchill was one of those who was allowed to get almost as big as 2-1 at one stage. That was trimmed in from 6-4 to 11-8 yesterday at the head of the betting. Albuquerque 4-1, Barney Roy 4-1. And Eminem was another market mover yesterday who was into 9-2. From 5-1, having been as big as 12s in the immediate aftermath of the Craven. And we've seen, Andrew, over the last few days in the Racing Post, the chances of Albuquerque, Eminent and Barney Roy all talked up. And those top four in the market for the 2,000 Guineas, if they all turn up and run their race, we should be in for a cracking renewal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shaping into a fantastic contest, as you'd expect. The worry for backers of Eminent is that we have to go back to 2004 to find the last winner to come via the Craven.
Yeah,
18 have failed in the last 10 years, including 8-1 or shorter. So that would be a worry. And most of the recent winners as well had raced more than twice. So, again, that's another stat that's worrying for backers of Barney Roy and Eminent. So I think it's going to be the favourite for me, boring though it is. Five from five since beaten on debut. And that was very impressive at the tail end of last year when winning the Dewhurst.
How do these stats stack up for horses coming into the 2,000 Guineas fresh without a run this season? Obviously, was busy as a two-year-old, and this is going to be his seasonal reappearance now in the 2,000.
That's a good question. Days since last run, I'm just looking at the stats here in Big Race Trends in Racing and Football Outlook. 7 of the last 10 winners have been off for at least 6 months.
Okay, all right.
So, certainly no downside to be running in this race on your reappearance.
and you would have thought Aidan O'Brien will have him absolutely A1 for the big day. We've seen that he had Minding fit and raring to go midweek as well when she won a Group 2 on her seasonal reappearance, because they don't always come back and win first time out, these Aidan O'Brien runners.
No, that's right, particularly when they've got big late-season targets, yes, like the ARC and the Breeders' Cup. They're perhaps not going to be fully wound up to win a listed race in Ireland in late March or early April.
Well, that was the thing with Found last season. I think it took two or three starts for her to really build up to full potential. As you said, she was getting beat in listed races, Group 3s, before going on to land some Group 1 prizes towards the end of the season.
That's right. When you see these genuine Group 1 contenders running in a Group 3 or a listed race, you have to sort of treat their chances with a pinch of salt. Sometimes they outclass their rivals and win anyway, but the chances are they're not going to be fully wound up for those comeback runs.
Okay, Churchill, the 11-8 market leader then for the 2,000 guineas upcoming this weekend at Newmarket. The 1,000 guineas looks a little bit more open. Rhododendron is quite a short price favourite at 2-1. But Daban at 6-1, Fairiva 6-1, seen money for that one as well. Dabia 10-1 with Hydrangea, 10-1 also for Winter. 11s and bigger the rest. Rhododendron, a very worthy favourite, but we've got the John Gosden pair, obviously, of Daban and Dabia. And Fairiva, who's almost a little bit of a forgotten horse. She's been beaten the last twice at odds on towards the back end of last season. But she's one that's come in for money over the last few days.
That's right, although I just wonder whether this trip is going to suit or whether she's going to be better at shorter.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stats regarding whether horses in the 1,000 guineas had had a recent run. And it's just four of the last 12 winners were making their reappearance. And Minding was the first ever to defy a layoff for Aidan O'Brien.
Right.
Whose first time out losers include three favourites and five others priced at 12 to 1 or less.
Interesting.
So that would be a bit of a concern for the jolly Rhododendron here.
Yeah.
I'd be quite interested in Hydrangea, whose form's tied in closely with that one.
Yeah.
Was obviously second to Rhododendron last year in the Dubai Fillies Mile, Group 1 contest here on the Roly Mile. But again, it's horses that have been racing in Patton Company, don't always win this. I think it's about a 50-50 split. So quite a few of these were stepping up in class. And I think I might throw a few quid at a big price at Rain Goddess.
Right.
Another Aidan O'Brien trained runner, but this one's a 33-1 shot. And of course, if we go back to 2012, he won this with a 25-1 poke in the shape of Homecoming Queen. Now, Rain Goddess ran at Newbury last time out. Finished fourth to Dabia, went an 8-1 shot ridden by Ryan Moore. But Newbury's a very hard place to come from off the pace on the straight course. The winner that day made all the runner-up Urban Fox track leaders. And the third Promising was in touch throughout. And Rain Goddess has done best of those who have ridden patiently, coming through into fourth position. And could just be the surprise package in this race.
Okay, good stuff. It's interesting how massively skewed the stats are with regarding seasonal reappearance. The 2,000 compared to the 1,000, how it's a positive for the 2,000, but not that many fillies have come to win on their seasonal reappearance.
Yeah,
I'm amazed the stats are so polarised both ways.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they stand up again this year.
Indeed. Good stuff. That's the Guineas weekend then to come this weekend. A fabulous couple of days racing at Newmarket. We'll turn our attention, though, to matters closer at hand, and that is Thursday's racing. We've got four races on Thursday picked out, and Andrew's hopefully going to point in the direction of one or two winners across the day on Thursday. We start at Lingfield then with their 4:10, a 7-furlong handicap upcoming here. It's a Class 4 event for the three-year-olds, and one or two lightly raced, potentially nice types in here, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. This is a very interesting little contest. Endless Charm for Charlie Appleby has won her sole start. That was at Kempton in November of last year. Very impressively eased down, scoring by over three lengths that day. And this daughter of Debarry could be anything. And Family Fortunes for Sylvester Kirk is two from two. You don't normally associate Sylvester Kirk with first-time out winners, but this one was the 25-1 outsider of four when making a winning debut at Lingfield, here at Lingfield back in February. That was over five furlongs. Stepped up to six at Kempton last time. Wasn't particularly well drawn. Was in the outside of the field from stall seven of seven, and then still managed to win gamely from Berkshire Boy. Again, ran green that day, and looks like there could be any amount to come. So I'd certainly have Family Fortunes on the shortlist. And even Marcus Sib, although disappointing at Chelmsford last time, qualifies as one of my Chelmsford flops, and switching from the Essex venue might bring about improvement. But looking at the draw of these, Endless Charms in stall 10 in this 7 furlong handicap. Marcus Hibbs drawn 8. So I'll go with the one who's drawn on their inside, and that's Family Fortunes.
OK, Family Fortunes then to remain unbeaten for Andrew in that 4-10 contest at Lingfield. We go over to Redcar then for their 4:30, another Class 4 handicap again over 7 furlongs on the turf, of course, this time. And the eye may well be caught by Gilgamesh here, Andrew, who has been freshened up in his bid for a four-timer.
Yeah, there's another son of Fox Wedge who's been doing really well at Wolverhampton. The sire, I think, is 8 winners from 17 there, and it should have been 9 from 17, but data protection. Got no bracket right, running last night on debut for on racecourse debut, trained by Willie Muir, that one. And we've got another one running this afternoon, which is Foxy Lass for William Haggis, a 20-1 shot. So I'm hoping that one performs well. But yeah, back on turf now. Gilgamesh, the son of Fox Wedge, did win at Nottingham second time out on good ground, so shouldn't have any problems with the surface. Looks really progressive. But I'm just slightly concerned by the running style. Tends to come from off the pace. Not always ideal at Redcar, a track, certainly on the straight course, that favours those who race up with the pace. That would bring Tai Sing Yeh into it. Yeah. Another 3-year-old, this one trained by Charles Hills, was in need of the run. Very green and met trouble in running when a good fifth of 13 on debut at York last back end. That was over 7 furlongs, and then won at Lingfield next time out, making all the running. So assuming the prominent tactics are readopted, then Tai Sing Yeh should go close. But I think I'm going to go with Fieldsman for David O'Mara. The top weight, Shelley Burkett taking off 3 here. Now, this one used to be trained by George Scott, the trainer of Gilgamesh, and did win first time out for the yard last year. That was at Newmarket. Over 7 furlongs, so clearly got no problems with a straight course. Form tailed off after that, but I think David O'Mara will be keen to show what he can do, taking this one over from another yard, particularly when that old yard has got one in the race as well. So I'm going to go for Fieldsman, who will hopefully be a bigger price than Gilgamesh.
OK, the top weight then, Fieldsman gets the nod there for David O'Mara, with Shelley Burkett doing the steering on board that one, as we go over to Musselburgh now for the 7:10 with a handicap over a mile. It's a Class 5 contest here, and 8 runners down to take their chance. And I have to say, recent winning form non-existent. The majority, well, all of these, in fact, come here after a disappointing spin last time out. But there is stacks of C and D form on offer. And if you ignore the last run, one or two of these were running OK before that.
Yeah, that's right. You could argue that perhaps a few of these needed their comeback runs, or were disappointed at the end of a long, hard season last year. That would perhaps include Vizier, who I think was burst a blood vessel when only beating one home at Newcastle in November. Having won at Hamilton on debut for David O'Mara the time before, that win was achieved in a fast time. It was on good to soft ground though, so he could perhaps do with a bit of rain. But I'm going to go with what should be a decent priced one, and that's number 3, Bernie's Boy, for Roger Fell. Now, this one was making its debut for the yard at Redcar last month, and was 10th of the 15 runners, but was only beaten by a little over 4 lengths. It was a 25-1 shot, and I'm pretty sure that run would have been needed. And I think he's going to improve for that. And he's a prominent racer drawn in stall 1, and that can be a big advantage on the round course at Musselburgh. So I'm going to go for Bernie's Boy to cause a bit of a surprise.
We stay at Musselburgh for the final race on today's podcast then. The 8:10 is a 5 furlong handicap. Sprinters in action here. Got a field of 7 down to contest this one. Who caught the eye here, Andrew?
I think it's got to be Royal Brave for Rebecca Basterman. This one won over course and distance last time, and beating Entertaining Ben. Was well back that day, going off as the 4-1 favourite. And had One Boy, who reopposes here, back in third. I mean, One Boy likes it here, should run his usual solid race. But in a small field, I think Royal Brave's got the prominent style that's likely to be favoured. And I'll go for that one to confirm the form.
Royal Brave then, the choice in the 8:10 Musselburgh. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Just give us a quick spin through your selections one more time, if you would.
Okay, in the 4:10 at Lingfield, I'm going for Family Fortunes. And the 4:30 at Redcar, I'm with Fieldsman on debut for David O'Mara. Then we're off to Musselburgh for the evening meeting. In the 7.10, I'm taking a chance on Bernie's Boy at what should be a good price. And finally, in the 8.10, I'm going for Royal Brave to follow up his recent course and distance victory.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of Thursday's racing, with four selections there to hopefully follow throughout the course of the day. Racing Radio will be live from 1:50 p.m. with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Dale Gibson and James Millman. Do hope you can join us for all of that. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Enjoy the guineas this weekend and best of luck with the bets.
Thanks, Sam. I'm going back to bed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.